I attended a local game developers conference this weekend and got to play some great upcoming indie games. Plus, the first large VR social network, Altspace VR, finally reveals the suitor keeping them around. Tonight is October 8th, 2017, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is everyone, Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I'm so glad everything worked tonight. Everything came up when it should. I needed to not do things so last minute. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a kind of last minute edition, but not really, of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, featuring your featuring the current news and your calls, but the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It's at live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you're logging into the site, you can check in and get some points, just like Dark Tetsuya and Fifth Dream. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. Thank you so much. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, there is a passphrase that is going to be in the episode, and it will rudely interrupt at some point. And you can put that in on the site when you listen to it, when you come back to the site and log in. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on an episode over at VogNetwork.com, or you can send me an email to feedback@BobbyBlackwolf.com. Why not? That'll be the email address. They all go to me anyway. So that's how you can contact me. There is not going to be a live show on Sunday, October 29th. So that is the only show that I know of that we're really taking off. So for the rest of the year, as far as I know. I will be here through the end of 2017 with you all. So that's October 29th. That's in like 3 weeks or something. So it's not anytime very soon, but it is at the end of the month. So this weekend, I went to a local game developers conference. So it's called Siege. I've actually been going to all of them. It's short for Southern Interactive Entertainment and Game Expo. So what you can actually think of this as is this is a game developer conference for the Southeast region of the United States. So it's our own, kind of like the local community. It's run by the Georgia Game Developers Association, and it's the local community, game development community, coming together for panels, talks, sessions, a little tiny show floor kind of expo hall where people are showing off their stuff. And I cover it every year. And I get to see a lot of the same people every year, but it's always kind of fun, and it's always nice to connect with local people in the community. And they've started reaching out a little more. One of the things that Siege has started to do is they've started to embrace the local esports scene. And they do this because there's two smaller developers who are very big into the esports scene for two different types of games. The one that we've talked about before really is Hi-Rez Studios. They make the game Smite, but they've also got a game called I believe Paladins is theirs, but it's another Overwatch. They've got their game and they basically do esports tournaments. But Smite is the one where Smite is like League of Legends. They actually have huge tournaments with large cash prizes. Usually the finals are here in Atlanta. They have their own expo here. So they've really tried to bring up the esports scene. And we've also got a budding other esports scene here because Turner now runs an esports league. It's called the E-League. And their esports arena is actually in the Turner Studios in downtown Atlanta. And I think Street Fighter was one of their games. But another game that they were doing some tournaments with was a game called Brawlhalla. And this is a game I haven't talked about much, even though it's like always at every single Georgia event I've been at. But Brawlhalla is it's like Smash Brothers, but without the Nintendo nostalgia. It's been around for several years, but it's a four-player fighting game, much in the style of Smash Brothers. And they've tailor-made it for the esports. So they've actually had the Georgia Esports League, and the Georgia Esports League. It's actually one of the people that's running it is somebody who actually has a long history. If you remember the old video show I did in 2009, 2010, which I know like Breakman came from. The owner of the computer arena, which was the LAN center that we initially did our that show from for the first 6 months. We did it from their show. He was the owner. He was the one that actually kind of helped be the brainchild for that show that was way ahead of its time because people were like, why would anybody want to watch somebody else play video games on the internet on a Friday night? He's now running the Georgia Esports League, or at least he has a high position with the Georgia Esports League. I'm not exactly sure if he's completely running it, but he was one of the in charge people, so that he's getting back into the esports thing. He really wanted to make the computer arena an esports bar, but esports hadn't really taken off yet, and he couldn't do it because it wasn't big here. He was just ahead of the curve with League of Legends hadn't come out. He had to close right around the same time League of Legends came out, and then that's when really the esports thing took off. So like my little video show, his concept was a little ahead of its time, but now he'd be making bank if he did that. So they were really embracing that. They actually did a college tournament, which apparently I believe actually my alma mater won. I think it went down to the University of Georgia against Kennesaw State University for their college tournament today, and I believe UGA pulled it out. That's what I think the tweet said. I was not down there today, so I didn't get to watch it personally, but go Dawgs. Dominating even in esports, just like we dominate in regular sports this year, at least. But that's not all that was there. I got to talk with a lot of people in the local community. One conversation that I had was very interesting, and I tweeted about it a little bit. And it's about podcasting, because people are asking me, well, how's business with podcasting? How much are you making? And I'm like, I'm not making money because I'm not trying to make money from this. But and that shocked them because, everybody there, their dream, their goal is to make money in the video game industry. That is everybody who's there. That is what they aspire to, which is they're recent college grads or they are currently in college. And that's exactly the attitude you want to have at that time. I'm not either of those groups. So I'm perfectly fine having a traditional day job, not in the game industry, that helps pay for this hobby. And that stunned some people because they told me I was giving up. But the other thing they told me is that when they heard the elevator pitch for the show, and I was telling them, and I was actually told, well, that's your problem. And the problem was what I kind of said is, I try not to, I'm past the cynicism. I'm too old to be a cynic anymore. I'm not overly negative. I'm not bashing everything. And he's like, well, there's your problem. That's why you're not able to make money at this. And I'm like, excuse me? And he's like, yeah, nobody cares about somebody who likes gaming. The goal is to be entertaining, and angry is funny. Somebody who is angry and always bashing and always ranting, they're funny. And that's entertaining, and that's what people want. And so the fact that I won't do that on a regular basis, the fact that I am, more forgiving, which has cost me listeners, because I'm like, well, you look at it from the company side, and people are like, I don't want to hear the company side. I want just the side of the consumer. And that's why I've been called anti-consumer. But the fact that I'm willing to do that and kind of give a little bit more of a benefit of a doubt, because people are like, well, they never listen to the fans. And I actually just edited last week's episode, and I think it was Ranma who called in. And he said, and I quote, Nintendo finally listened to the fans for once, as if they've never listened before. And I countered with, they listen all the time. They're always listening, and they always hear you. And there may be other reasons why they don't explicitly follow what you think they should do. And they're not going to tell you all those reasons because some of those are company secrets. But and the fact that I do that, and he's like, well, that's why you're not popular. Which I think I'm popular. I'm popular enough. But he was basically telling me that in order to make it, I needed to be more entertaining, which means being angry and being controversial. I needed to say something controversial that will get clicks, and that's and then I can get the outrage, and you know, and then I can rake in all the money from the people being outraged, always clicking on my stuff to see what outrageous thing I'm going to say next. And I actually don't even remember his name. But if he's listening, hi, thanks for listening. Yeah, it was very interesting to hear that, and it was because it was on the heels of a there was a rant section, which was kind of neat, where people in the industry ranted about something, about 4 minutes. And one of them was he gave a rant about if you're doing a panel, you're there as the entertainer, and find a moderator who can read the room and keep things moving, and don't do audience Q&A. Don't do audience participation because that's not entertaining. You're not, and basically, it was like that, and you know, which goes against this because I'm always having audience participation. So I actually break the rules of this guy's rant because I'm constantly looking at chat and having the audience participation. He's like, you shouldn't have that. The audience is there for a show, and they're not part of. They don't want to be part of the show, or at least he didn't want to be part of the show. So that's where it came from, and that's why they were saying, well, you know, by not being negative, you're not being entertaining. And but people were like, oh, yeah, because that's all there is. Well, you got to realize that the people that are making money doing this are the ones who get salty. They're the ones who are angry. And he has a point. Angry is funny. And I'm going to point to this, and please don't take this personally, but because I love the show that comes on after me. But you guys love it when Loki goes on a huge rant and he starts screaming and, you know, destroying your earphones or earbuds or whatever you're using to listening. And, you lose a little bit of hearing. Everybody loves it when he does that. There's a reason the YouTubers that make lots of money, that's them all the time. And that's because other people think it's funny. So that was interesting. That was an interesting conversation at Siege. So I told him I'm just as popular as I want to be. Thank you for your time. But it did kind of bring up an interesting point that he said angry is funny and positive is boring. So I'm going to bore you for the next 40 minutes. And Rob does want to point out, I know Bobby knows this, but that's not Loki 100% of the time. And I agree, and that's kind of why I said the people who make lots of money at this are like that 100% of the time. Loki's not like that 100% of the time, but I see the reaction every time it happens. So there is a little bit of truth that angry is funny and angry is entertaining, and that's what people want. That's what the majority want, but thankfully, I'm not here for the majority. And Dungeon Buster does say, Twitch has a community tag for positivity, and quite a few big streamers are on it. So there are a couple of people that are bucking the trend, but you know, you got to realize, with Yahtzee starting it off with zero punctuation, and then you get the angry people, like Angry Video Game Nerd, and then Jim Sterling being very more critical of things, which when they like something, it means more to their audience, to be fair. And ActDev says, Loki at least has other people countering them. With angry video game YouTubers, it isn't. They don't have anybody countering them, so it's just the one side. That was interesting. That was an interesting conversation. So conversations like that actually happen at these conferences. I'm not calling it a convention. I'm calling it a conference because this is not like, you know, there was nobody cosplaying there. It was strictly about the art of creating games. And I was one of the few people that with a press ribbon there because it's not really a press show. In fact, there's a couple, you know, there's a couple things I'm not allowed in because I'm press. Because having a press person around kind of makes some people nervous because they're afraid I'm gonna think that they're on the record. When to me, anything, you know, when the evening programming starts, it's all off the record. That conversation was not during the evening portion, and I'm not outing anybody anyway. But I did get to play some games. Because the nice thing about this convention, about Siege, is that when it started, it was really a whole bunch of people that wanted to make games and learn how to make games. And now, you know, the convention's been around for like 10, conference has been around for like 10 or 12 years, something like that. And it's we're now seeing those people that went to Siege initially now making their games. Like, they're now actually putting content up, and they're selling things on Steam. They're on, itch.io and GOG and stuff like that, but a lot of them are on Steam. And so it's really nice to see that, you know, at my first Siege, I didn't play a single game. For several Sieges, of the first Sieges I attended, there was not a single game to be actually played at this conference. There was nothing. Everything in the expo hall was, you know, colleges and companies that were hiring. There was their HR departments. They maybe had like a trailer running of the game, especially if it was like Hi-Rez Studios, a big game developer. But not anything really smaller. And now the entire room, same size room, is now basically just people demoing their games. And it's really awesome to see how, you know, the local area has grown up. And I got to play some games that I've seen multiple times. I've seen a lot of these guys already at MomoCon or at Southern Fried Game Room Expo previously. There is one game that I want to talk about. I did actually shoot two YouTube videos there, so I've got to edit those down. The first one that may go up is going to be a game called Twin Cop. And Twin Cop is a very interesting, it's a concept that's going to be really fun to watch. Twin Cop is a couch co-op required. So it requires two people in the same room right now, because online is very difficult for what they want to do. But Twin Cop, it is a top-down, it looks graphically like Hotline Miami. And that's where the similarities to Hotline Miami stop. So, you know, it does have, you know, pixelated blood and everything. So it's got that as well. But it's not like the difficulty of Hotline Miami and all that stuff. But the idea, it's an 80s, it's stylized like an 80s buddy cop movie. Except the story, they said, is that the two best cops on the force were sliced in half, both sliced in half in a very gruesome accident by a criminal, the crime lord in the city. And the only way to save both of them is to fuse them together. So it is two cops with one body. And you've got your left and your right cop. And so basically player one is the left side and player two is the right side. So how is this novel in the way that the game's played? So now you actually have to work with someone to move. So you both have to be moving forward in order for the cop to move forward. And then you have a gun in each hand, but one person is the left gun, one person's the right gun. And you're trying to defeat waves of enemies and stuff. But they also have other things that you have to do, like, you know, do a fist jab when you're successful. You actually have to, like, line up your fists and stuff like that. But also, everything in the game, it's got co-op. So even dialogue choices are co-op. So the left half will say the first half of the sentence, and the right half will say the second half. And you can have completely different things going on there. And there are other little mini games like, you know, cutting wires on a bomb. You know, each person has one half of the scissors. Also, there's, driving a car. You both have to cooperate driving the car, and it operates like a tank. It operates like Katamari Damacy, except imagine one person's the left stick and one person's the right stick. And you have to talk, and you have to work together, and you can't do it without communication. So it's really neat. It's a really novel idea. It's coming out, hopefully, they said, by the end of this year, hopefully. But it's made some great progress. I actually saw it at Southern Fried Game Room Expo a couple months ago in June, and I saw it today, and they've added a lot more. And there's even more that they're doing. So it's called Twin Cop. So I got to play that, and there's going to be a great YouTube video coming up with them, and it's got some hilarity. It's very punny, and it is the good thing is it's not as punishing as like a Hotline Miami. You don't die in one hit or anything like that. It's very doable. It's more the way you beat the game is you have to be very cooperative with someone else, and you both have to be able to do the right things at the right time, and you have to be very communicative. They say they'd love to do online. It's going to be kind of interesting because of like lag on the internet, but also it's going to require voice chat. You cannot play this game without being able to talk to your partner, and it's just so it's really fun to watch people who are good at it, to watch two players that are very good at it, It's you just have to watch the video. The other game I played, which actually is coming out this Thursday. So it is a minimalist puzzle game. It is called Sinker, S-I-N-K-R. And I will be putting it up. I put a link in our chat room. All these links are going to be in the show notes over at VogNetwork.com. It is coming out this Thursday, and it is going to be 99 cents. So, and it's about an hour and a half to get through it. It is, and that's why it's 99 cents. It was kind of interesting talking to him about it, because he's like, there's not much replayability in this game right now. So it's basically you've got hooks and you've got circles and you've got holes, and you need to use the hooks to drag the circles into the holes. That's basically what the game is. Like I said, it's about an hour or so. There's no like Steam Workshop or anything, so that's why it's 99 cents, which I actually think is a very fair price. It's actually kind of fun. I've also played it at Southern Fried Game Room Expo. I got a Steam key, and he is welcoming me to stream it. So I actually did make sure I played a couple levels today to make sure it works. So whenever I do stream on Twitch, I might actually stream through some of the levels. And it is coming out. It's coming out on Steam this Thursday, but he does have a version working on iPads. So it's going to come out on mobile as well. And then if the game does well, if enough people buy it at 99 cents, he will port it over to, I think he said he would love to do a Switch version, but also, you know, he's got controller support coming in and would love to be able to do those. So it is called Sinker. There's going to be a YouTube video up on that as well. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase education. So the news story that I wanted to talk about, because Microsoft did a huge presentation about their new mixed reality system, which is what they're calling virtual reality. They're broadening it a little bit. But Microsoft is jumping in on the VR bandwagon with some mixed reality headsets. But the big thing I want to talk about was that Microsoft are actually the suitors who have saved a social network that I kind of wished I had spent more time in when it closed down. And that's Altspace VR. And we thought maybe like Palmer Luckey, the guy who created Oculus that then left the company, that maybe he had invested in it, and probably there were multiple investors. But Microsoft won out. Engadget reports that when Altspace VR announced that it was staying open after threatening to close its doors, it said it was in deep in discussions with people who were passionate about it. Apparently one of those people was Microsoft, because the software giant has just announced that it's acquiring Altspace VR, officially providing Windows Mixed Reality with a social VR solution. Alex Kipman, Microsoft's mixed reality head, said, quote, "With the Altspace VR team on board, we look forward to building the world's preeminent mixed reality community," unquote. So the way this article explains Altspace, it's kind of like Second Life for VR, except you don't really get to build your own stuff. Like Second Life, you actually got to build your own items and build your own environments. This is just more the chat side of things. And it's only been around for a few years. It already has competition in the social VR space. Facebook Spaces is kind of the same thing. And that's obviously powered by Facebook and Oculus. Altspace VR has had successes. It's partnered with NBC in the past to broadcast the presidential debates in VR, and even hosted virtual comedy shows from Reggie Watts and Paul Scheer. Altspace VR is currently accessible with Google Daydream, Samsung's Gear VR, the Oculus Rift, and the HTC Vive. It also works in 2D. You can also use it without a VR headset on a PC. With the Microsoft acquisition, it's likely that Altspace VR will be available on Windows mixed reality headsets as well. And the thing about that is that I believe Steam VR, which is what runs all the Vive stuff, because it's an open platform, if something runs on Steam VR, chances are, out of the box, it'll run on other platforms. That's why Oculus Rift can run Steam VR things. That's why if you have an OS VR headset, which is the open source virtual reality headset, it works with Steam VR stuff. And I believe Windows Mixed Reality, that SDK, because developers already have the hardware, I believe it already natively works with Steam VR stuff as well. And it was interesting, at Siege, there was a panel about VR and where VR is going, led by some people who are doing, one person was doing games and other people were doing experiences. And they remarked that unlike anything else in the tech industry, the VR companies are all sharing with each other. That, you know, everybody kind of knows what they're doing. And that's not something you typically see. So you actually do, they claim that there is a lot of open communication between developers and between publishers and trying to do this right. Whereas in the console space, you know, yeah, Sony and Microsoft aren't going to share anything. You notice that with the lack of cross-platform support for games like Minecraft and Rocket League. But in VR, people are sharing techniques. There's not that many company secrets. Now, I don't know if that's the same at the top-level hardware level. I don't know, you know, how much Valve and Facebook talk about the differences between the Oculus, the Rift, and the Vive platforms. But at lower levels, you know, down the chain, it is a very open and welcoming community, which is really great to hear and great to see. Kaijudo said Microsoft made a smart move for once. They've made several smart moves. I mean, let's be completely fair here. You know, watching some of the stuff about their mixed reality headsets in terms of the way what they're claiming, which, you know, to be fair, they claimed a lot with the Kinect as well. But what they're claiming with some of their mixed reality headsets, which is really their VR headsets, they're using the term mixed reality so they can marry VR and AR together, which I'm still kind of confused as to why they're the same thing, because they're really not. But what they're doing with, you know, you don't need sensors. Like, they actually have, instead of the sensors being on your desk, like the Oculus Rift, or on top of your TV, like the PlayStation VR, or in the corners of my room with the sense of HTC Vive, the sensors that sense your room are actually in the headset and in the controllers. So that's how they stop you from running into walls and running into other things. So if that's true, if that's actually how it works, then that's really the next step forward. And then hopefully soon we can get to the standalone units that you don't have to connect to a computer. So Microsoft is doing a lot of – has made smart moves a lot. And don't let your bias about the fact that you hated the idea that they were going to make the Xbox One always on, which they turned away from, don't let that cloud anything. Because they're all making some, they're making some smart moves. That's why they are successful, even if you don't think they're actually successful. They really are. And the great thing about facts is that they're true whether or not you believe in them. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take your calls about anything that you want to talk about going on in the gaming industry, and we can just talk. We can talk about stuff. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Woohoo! It's a number one.
I thought chatter about video game radio was number one.
I'm number one. The heck with everybody else. You're listening to the great radio show. Now have a rotten day.
Charles Martinet, like 11 years ago, doing a bumper for my show with another podcast that was around 11 years ago that's no longer around. I miss you, Chatterbox. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be Charles Martinet. I did not even try to seek him out at Dragon Con because he was there. I could have had him like do an updated bumper. I did not seek him out. But you can leave me an MP3. Just send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com, or you can call the toll-free number. Which I'm opening up right now, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype. The toll-free number is 1-888-36-GAME-1. That is toll-free in North America. One person I did get to meet this weekend, I would have gotten a bumper from him, but it's not completely video game related, but he was at Siege, and his name's Larry Elmore. And I don't know if anybody here recognizes that name, but he was the artist who did a lot of the covers of the early Dungeons and Dragons books and the Advanced Dungeons and Dragons books, or with me, Dragonlance. He did a lot of art for Dragonlance, and then also he did the Snarf Quest comics for Dragon Magazine, I believe it was. And then there was the Snarf Quest Tales video game that was made here locally. And I've actually had James Simpson on the show twice to talk about Snarf Quest Tales, which is out now. It's a point-and-click adventure game based on Larry Elmore's comic. Well, Larry Elmore was actually at Siege, and I finally... He usually goes to Dragon Con, but he has a long line because he's Larry Elmore. And people who are into... especially like the early days of when TSR owned the Dungeons & Dragons and Advanced Dungeons & Dragons franchise before Wizards of the Coast got it. He was a very big part of the art of visualizing that world. So there's always a long line. But at Siege, there really wasn't. So I actually went, and it was kind of funny that it was kind of fun. I actually have a photo, which I haven't posted yet, but I took with me the first edition that I had, the 1984 printing of the first Dragonlance novel, Dragons of Autumn Twilight. It was part of the Chronicle series, book one, with his original art. And that's where you get introduced to the Dragonlance world. I think it's Kryn, I think was the name of the world, the planet. And that's where I really started getting into Dragonlance. And I've read it a couple times, so the spine kind of looks... little janky and stuff, and he signed it for me. And there's a picture of me and him, and I'm holding up that book that I first read in middle school. And I have like 30 other Dragonlance books, but I had him sign the first one from a long time ago. And so that was cool, finally getting to meet him. Would have tried to get more time with him, but the expo hall was actually closing. And so they had already shut the doors, and security was waiting for him to finish up the stuff he was doing so we could do that, and then I had to get out of there. But it was great finally getting to meet him after talking to James Simpson about Snarf Quest Tales for as long as I have. Larry Elmore, to tie it into gaming, he actually did a lot of the early EverQuest art as well. Not the original EverQuest art. That was somebody else. But that person passed away. And so Larry Elmore took over for several expansions in the early 2000s of doing like the cover art for EverQuest. So he actually had some of his EverQuest prints there that you could purchase. I didn't, but he had them there. And so that's kind of where it ties into gaming. He did do some gaming cover artwork as well. Breakman says Bobby was giggling like a small child. No, not there. The other people that were there waiting to buy prints, because he was off doing like another interview with someone. I probably could have like scheduled an official interview with him, but I didn't. They were the ones that were giddy. And he was signing their prints and everything. So I'll post that picture up. I also got to see at the Swede parties that they had there, and I posted a picture of this. It was really disturbing. There is a video on my Twitter account, at Bobby Blackwolf, of this. And it's foosball. So it's foosball. That's like that's the game, except you don't use a controller. You don't use Kinect. You don't use VR. You use your voice. And the way that you play, the paddles are actually lines that represent the sound waves. And you have to scream in the mic at different pitches to get the sound waves to knock the puck into the other person's goal. So you have two people screaming at the top of your lungs, of their lungs, trying to move this puck from one end to the other. It is the scariest thing to witness because they're doing this in like at Siege. There are parties up on the top floor of the hotel, and there's a bunch of suites up there. And so like there are like five or six suites that are open, and you basically just go between them all. And this was in one of the suites. So all you hear from the outside are two people screaming. And it's high-pitched screaming. Low-pitched stuff don't work. I'd want to just go in there with a bullhorn and just like, brruh, 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 and I'd win everything. But that is not the spirit of the competition. They all wanted me to play it, and I'm like, no, I've got to go on the air tomorrow night. Like I literally like one round of that game, I would probably lose my voice. So I politely declined and just got scarred for life. I did actually hear it at Southern Fried Game Room Expo. They had it set up at some point because I could hear people screaming in the lobby. And people were like, yeah, no, it's a game. They're playing a game. And I think it was this game. So it's a thing. It is a frightening thing. Thank you, SSJ1R Matt. Yeah, Breakman says competition, schmompetition. Winning is everything. It's like, you know, a namesake. There was a person in the sports entertainment world who shared my same first name, who we lost recently, and he would always say his quote was, "Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat." And that should be just a mantra for life, I guess. It shouldn't. It shouldn't really be a mantra for life. But it was his mantra for life. Kaijudo said, what if people sang to it? That would be cool for the voice knockout rounds. I don't know how it worked. Like, it really depends on, like, I couldn't figure out, like, the actual, like, logic behind what sound waves do what. It'd be an interesting thing to see. So, we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ACDEFT.
ACDEFT, what's up, man?
I don't know why people don't call you controversial. You don't like Ni No Kuni.
Well, that's
you
not controversial.
Like Mega Man 9.
I didn't say I didn't like Mega Man 9. I just said I wasn't going to buy Mega Man 9. But, I mean, not liking Ni No Kuni is not controversial because nobody likes Ni No Kuni.
But yeah, but anyways, aside that, I don't want to call about your opinions or how controversial they can be.
Right.
I want to pretty much talk about the screw up that Amazon did with the SNES Classic.
Yes. I got owned by them in the past, and so that's why I did not trust them this time around, and. It still has not been fixed yet, right?
Nope.
So let's start from the beginning. We're talking about Amazon, but what are we actually talking about with Amazon?
Well, basically, it was August 22nd at around 1:30 a.m. Pacific time when Amazon decided to open pre-orders for the SNES Classic.
Mm-hmm.
I luckily was up late because Best Buy had their pre-orders the same night.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to go with Amazon because for some people like me, it's the only option, basically. So despite other mishaps with Amazon in the past, with Nintendo products especially, mm-hmm. I decided to go with them again. And let's go to September 29th. So a few days ago. So the SNES Classic was released. Mostly everybody I see on Twitter, they got their SNES Classic, and I'm cool. They had a lot of stock. That's mm-hmm. awesome. But for some reason, Amazon didn't have any confirmation of when anybody who pre-ordered will get their SNES Classic.
Mm-hmm.
So even until now, until today, I still don't know when I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no confirmation. There's no estimate either.
Mm-hmm.
Many people on Twitter are saying that probably on October 11th. We still don't know because most of the people I have chatted with Amazon on their customer service have said pretty much just wait. Mm-hmm. You will get stock. The problem will be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
All that. But again, it's been more than a week and we still haven't gotten a single word of, at least officially, from Amazon. And it's concerning because they did have stock for their treasure trucks and their instant pickup.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that pretty much pre-ordered back on August 22nd is out of luck because we still don't know when we're going to get it.
Yeah, and to be fair, full disclosure, is I got my NES Classic from the treasure truck, but it was also like 8 months after it came out or something like that. Like, it was in August, like late July or early August is when I got it, but it was from a treasure truck. But yeah, so has anybody who pre-ordered from Amazon gotten theirs, do you know? Or is it, or, like, have you heard anybody say that they've gotten theirs?
Not that I know of. I did see some people on Twitter, because I'm pretty much searching up this topic every day.
Mm-hmm.
I see some people on Twitter that they have gotten confirmation for when their orders will arrive, but I haven't seen like any proof of it, mm-hmm. so I don't know exactly. But the people, I have even tweeted to the people that have gotten a confirmation that they have said it's true that they have gotten the confirmation and the SNES Classic will arrive to them in next week. So I'm just waiting for Amazon because again, many people have said, and it's like a big strong rumor that they will be shipping out on the 9th so everyone can get it on the 11th because of Prime. But again, no official word. It's just like rumors from customer service because in other cases, some people have gotten an estimate until November, not even October, November. Yeah. So yeah, it's weird.
What might be happening, and SSJ100 Mac kind of touches this on chat, so I'm going to change his comment a little bit. Is that it could be a thing where this is actually once again Nintendo's fault, but Amazon is not going to point the finger at Nintendo for this because if you anger Nintendo, then they won't give you anything next time. So they're probably taking the fall where Nintendo really didn't give Amazon maybe enough units. Or didn't tell Amazon how many they were getting. Like maybe Amazon got like 50 units and they're like, oh, we thought we were getting like 50,000 or something. And so that's what we sold. But Amazon is not going to go, hey, yeah, Nintendo's screwing us. Because you don't want to burn that bridge. So that might be what's happening here. But so Amazon is going to take the fall. It's going to take your ire. You're going to withhold your further business. But Amazon probably says that's if they have to lose you or if they have to lose Nintendo, if they have to choose between the two of those, they'd rather lose you, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the sad part. But even at this point, I pretty much like resign about it or have the acceptance that, okay, I won't get it on time, that I will have to wait. But still, and I talked and I said this on OLR last week. I would expect at least a word from Amazon that at least a sorry.
You might get a sorry when this is done. Like they're probably still trying to figure out. And even if
you said, okay, Nintendo may have understocked for Amazon and all that. Mm-hmm. I would have still like to Amazon at least if they're gonna take the fall, if they're gonna say, oh, it was on us.
You'll get a form letter apology later. Like, you will get... Because I've gotten that form letter apology. But it was after everything happened. Because Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. The same thing happened with that. And I did get a form letter apology from Amazon after it finally did get to me 3 days later. But I had already gone out to Best Buy to pick it up off the shelf because that's easier to find than a Super Nintendo Classic. And that's actually a different issue. The like what happened with Mario Kart 8, that's a different issue than this, because that's based on their shipping network, or you know Amazon's own personal shipping, because they're too big for the primary carriers, and so that's why they've had to start their own logistics division.
Well, hopefully, and despite all of this, hopefully Amazon will fulfill all the orders. And,
oh, they will.
And on time. I really, really don't want to wait that much because of another reasons. But but yeah, it's and this is probably because this isn't the first time it has happened.
It's half Amazon's growing pains and half Nintendo not realizing how big they are.
At least hopefully I will have a happy ending this week. If not, I will just have to wait and see what happens.
Well, we're all beating Star Fox 2 without you.
I know.
All right. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Fifth Dream actually says, oddly, I've never had any problems getting stuff from Amazon, but also he did mention he just started getting something from their carriers today for the first time. So that's probably why. Amazon, it depends on where you live. Where I live, LaserShip, which is Amazon's, which is kind of like Uber for shipping, that's an option. And so that's what Amazon actually goes with mostly for their Prime. For like if you have Amazon Prime, they send it through LaserShip, or they have their own delivery service, and they're not as bound because they're LaserShip and Amazon's own service are basically it's like Uber. People drive their own personal cars and they take packages around. Or it's more like a pizza delivery place, but it's you know contractors, and so that's why you'll see LaserShip contractors throwing packages out of a car. Because they're paid based on how many packages they deliver in a certain time period. And so they don't even want to stop at your house. They don't want to get out of the car. They just want to, like, if they could just throw it like a newspaper and throw it on your lawn, then they can mark it delivered and never really slow down. That's the way they would do it. And so there's some accountability issues with some of their third party because, unfortunately, UPS and FedEx and the post office here in the U.S., they are overloaded with Amazon stuff. And they basically told Amazon, look, we can't do this. And so that's why Amazon has had to turn to third-party other shippers like LaserShip or create their own. And that's where the drone delivery service comes from that they've been touting. It's because they need to be able to have their own shipping network because the established shipping networks are like, no, you're overloading us. So that is it with the show tonight. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much longer than I do. We're going to have a quick chat with them tonight. Sacramento, you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. I went a little long with the, but you know, the stuff about Amazon or Amazoff, whatever.
No, that's okay. I'm glad people are talking about it. And I have to admit, because we have guests in the studio, I missed a little bit of that conversation, but I'll have to catch it on the podcast feed. I'm glad there's some follow-up happening there because I know it was really
it was
irritating.
Mainly an optics issue because if you look at it, they're not fulfilling their pre-orders or some of them or most of them or whatever. But then there's these treasure trucks that they magically have units for.
Well, you know, and as I kind of said on OLR last week, it's because the Amazon that fulfills that stuff is not the same as the Amazon that does the treasure truck. But that doesn't matter. I mean, the perception is it's all Amazon and it is hurting the company at that level and they need to figure that out.
Yeah. So how's your week been?
Not too shabby. I finally got to play the Super Nintendo Classic that I picked up, you know, on that Friday before the last OLR. So I got to tinker around with that a little bit. And otherwise, that's kind of been my week. It's been a little bit of a slower news week in the world, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. That's why, you know, I'm like, yeah, I started a little late tonight, but it was fine.
That's all right.
More important things than news happened.
How so?
Gorillaz.
Jamie went to a concert, and that's
awesome.
That's her very, and she told me she was out till 3 a.m. I was like, "Wow, you can."
And I worked the next day.
You can still stay up there. Like, that's something a 23-year-old does.
Congratulations!
You're still young and hip, Dark Sakura.
No, I'm not young, and I feel it in my hip.
Going to rock concerts, then rolling into work the next.
So, who are your guests tonight?
Well, we have a favorite back on the show. And I won't ruin the surprise too bad, but let's just say we're gonna get a younger gamer perspective again tonight from an old.
Awesome. What else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the Nintendo World Championships, I suppose, since that was the thing that happened. Although, I don't know, it felt a little more anticlimactic to me this year. But we'll see what you guys felt about that in our chat room and so forth. And Street Fighter V, they're putting out a version that I could swear they said the first time was not going to happen. But here we are.
And food.
And I guess maybe a little food as well.
All right. Well, short call tonight, but let's go ahead and get to your show coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network.
That's all right. Or I might have to unleash Loki on you.
I know. I don't want to Loki rant at me tonight.
It's all good. Oh my God. I could rant about the openings of your show.
There's tentacles in the Kraken.
But I'm just gonna inhale, exhale, and be done with it.
Just roll your eyes.
Yep. That's what I do that on a regular basis in this gaming community.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
All right, so that's it. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf is where I am. Or you can submit feedback on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC, Nate, Hecht, Ronma, Rob Roberts, Bird, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc 978, JD, Shadow Next Gen, Tiger Claw, Loki, Act Deft, Alex P. Carson, Breakman, Bacon Bits, Bull, Brad from Pod Culture, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fluke, Kaijudo, Kazan, Matt Fox, MXC, MXT, Sean 8BitX, Snow, Spiffy, SSJ100 Matt, VXJasonXV, and Zeba. So I will see you next Sunday night. Go enjoy some games if you can get them delivered to you. Once you get it delivered to you, go and enjoy some games, because we're in that season where all the good games are coming out. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.